Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Minneapolis is Shirley Qual and Andrea Ekberg from United Healthcare. The two of them will be addressing the topic of mergers and acquisitions during a time of healthcare transformation. They'll be speaking at the 2019 Compliance Institute on the topic. So let's get right into it. First of all, thank you both for being here, and let me get into the subject. A merger is being contemplated, and in the excitement of the situation, it's often easy to forget the importance of compliance and the due diligence. First, how do you make sure you get a seat at the table and an appreciation among management for the compliance implications?
Great question, Adam. This is Shirley Qual, and in our experience, getting a seat at the table is a challenge for all compliance professionals for all kinds of business issues, not just integrations and mergers and acquisitions. So developing those critical relationships with your business partners is a key function for all of our compliance colleagues. And so when the day comes that they're going to need some strategy or some talk about some business related things involving an integration, they will call on us. So really building the relationships and persuading them that you can bring value to that conversation is a really important part of being a compliance officer and important in an integration. Some of the things that we bring to that table are helping them prioritize the risks that they see in the acquisition. We always want to make sure that we are not people coming to the table to tell them to stop the deal or interfere with their business strategies about why they want to integrate. We don't judge those things. What we do is we want to talk to them about the compliance risks that they might not otherwise see. So our legal partners will see legal risk, the business partners will see business risk, and we will see compliance risk. And we just want them to go into these integrations with their eyes wide open and recognize also that we will partner with them once the deal goes through and that we will then have a chance to look with them at what those risks are prior to the close of the deal.
So now, one of the most essential areas as you're moving through the process is the whole due diligence portion. Now, when you're doing the due diligence, you want to see as much as you can, but obviously you don't have the time or resources to look at everything in an organization that you're looking to merge or acquire. How do you decide what the key areas are to focus on?
This is Andrea, and to begin, really, you want to focus on those areas that allow you to gain an understanding of the strengths and the opportunities of that target entity. So from a compliance perspective, a starting point would be that seven-element framework. And can you see those elements present within the entity? What documentation do you want to request or do you need to see? Second, look at who and identify who is performing compliance work. Is there a dedicated compliance structure? Is it supported within legal or in operations? Or some, maybe a combination of those three. And then going beyond the element framework, look at, is the nature of the entity's business similar or different from your current business model? And what is the regulatory environment? By answering those two questions, that can help focus your review and documentation requests. Third, look at the compliance risk assessment structure. Do they have one? And then if the entity is similar to your business model, start with your own high risk compliance areas. How is that target entity handling those? And if the target is a different business model or industry, a good starting point could be the external regulatory reviews or enforcement activity. What issues or findings have been identified? And then what was the entity's response? Can you see root cause analysis, effective remediation, validation processes? By focusing on identifying those strengths and opportunities, your compliance program will be in a much better position to support and inform that alignment with the new entity if or when that deal goes through.
So now, as you're going through this, looking at these risk areas, looking at what's present, what's not, what are some key red flags to be watching for, both in terms of potential violations and maybe also in terms of a lack of strong controls in the organization that's being acquired?
Right. So what we try to do really when you think about it is, as Andrea was talking about, is a bit of a compliance risk assessment is what you're doing when you're doing your due diligence. And so you're looking for the assets of the organizations. What are its strengths? What are its challenges? And you look at structure, process and outcomes when it comes to a compliance. So do they have, when we talk about structure, do they have a compliance officer? Do they have a that reports to the board or governing body? Do they have auditing and monitoring of compliance issues? Do they have, you know, a culture that they can rely on that is a strength for them in a compliance setting? And when we look at process, we're looking at, once again, monitoring what kind of relationships do they have with their business partners? Do the business partners know who they are and what they do? Do they have corrective action plans and processes built to make sure that they can close the loop when they find an issue? Do they have a hotline and does anybody use it? You know, does anybody ever report anything? So you want to look at those assets. And then finally, you want to look at outcomes. What kind of enforcement history do they have? What are the, you know, outcomes of the audits that they have? Corrective action plans. Do they have a lot of lawsuits in a particular area? How about their privacy breaches? So really, when you think about it, you're really just looking at a lot of the effectiveness of their compliance program and in a risk assessment sort of fashion. And you might see some red flags in there. You probably are going to find a way to focus your attention on very specific areas of their compliance program, just kind of judging where they've got their really strong areas. You're not going to spend a lot of time there, but you're going to know when the integration gets completed that, or the acquisition gets completed, that you're going to focus on a specific area of weakness for them.
Now, you actually just hinted at my next question, which is on integration. So, the acquisition is completed, the deal's moving forward, the next challenge is integration. Where do you start?
Well, the greatest asset of any organization is its people. So start there. And then focus on building those relationships and establishing communication channels with your new entity partners. You want to get on the same page relatively quickly on the expectations and your connectivity. So how will you share information? What information do you expect your new partners to share with you, and when should they be sharing that? And how will you work on those identified risk areas and so on? The overall pace of your integration and engagement is informed by both the risk levels, what you found in due diligence, and as well as your organization's going in position and what are your organization's objectives with this merger. So they're keeping in mind there's no one approach for all acquisitions, but the easiest place to start is the people and then move from there.
So let's close by focusing on the people, the workforce. How do you get the new workforce aligned with your compliance vision?
Yeah, Adam, I think this is where the real touch comes in, because you really need to use some emotional intelligence when you work on this. You're going to be integrating with a group of people who have been running their own compliance program and a business that has been relying on that team. And so you're taking two compliance programs and finding a way to blend them. And what we found is unsuccessful is to just take their compliance team or their program and expect them to act like us and be like us. We've found that learning from another compliance program is the best way to go about it, because there's oftentimes things they've got to bring to the table that we haven't thought of or could do better. So the integration is something that takes a little time to understand the strengths of the people that you're working with, the strengths of their program, and how to blend them in over time. It takes some patience and it takes some tact to make sure that we don't alienate both or either the business or our compliance partners. But I think one of the tools that we've found very valuable is in the branding of our compliance program internally, to be able to articulate what the strengths of our own compliance program, and so that we can inculcate the new team members coming in into the way that we think about compliance as best as we can, while still preserving some of their own identity in going through the integration. It is a challenge. It takes time. But the investment is really worth it, because then you do have a fully integrated team. And the workforce, as Andrea said, is your strength. And so we really do want to focus on people. We want to be inclusive, and we want to make sure that we aren't alienating people through the process.
Now, you touched upon the fact that you've got teams that are merging, learning from each other, learning how the system goes. One of the things that can get in the way is ego. You know, this isn't something that I came up with. This is something that you came up with. And that can work both ways, both the people doing the acquiring and those being acquired. How do you encourage people to sort of let go of their ego and learn from and accept the best from both programs?
fantastic question. And, you know, I think that comes up with in any kind of negotiation, if you will, or persuasion when you're in part of a compliance program. So you it's about relationships. And there is no real right way. This is the wonderful thing about compliance programs is, you know, there isn't a right way. There is a way, and it you try to figure out and customize the best way with, once again, the assets that you've got within the organization. And so to me, pulling the ego out of it is a way to get the best out of the situation, both with the people and with the processes that you're building, and be open-minded. And being open-minded is being curious, is truly being accepting about other people's ideas and not judging before you come into a meeting what the best way to do something is. So if you can do it as your you know, the leadership of your team, you can probably get other people to not be defensive right from the get-go. But so a lot of it depends on how you approach those conversations. And I think that helps you to get those people who show up from the new organization into yours to relax and maybe understand that this isn't going to be a fight. It's going to be a collaboration.
Just building, I completely agree. And it goes back to how Shirley had mentioned the using your emotional intelligence and then building those solid foundational relationships. And I think to Shirley's point, working towards the greater good and really maybe trying to get some early wins on demonstrating that you're open. So building that trust and relationship will go a long way of getting a cohesive group and then working through any of those potential challenges that may come from ego or defensiveness.
Thank you. I think that's really good advice for everyone. So I want to thank you, Shirley and Andrea, for talking to us on this podcast. I want to also thank you for speaking at the 2019 Compliance Institute. Let me finally thank all of you for taking the time to listen today. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.